involved in business? Business? How many? How many? Hands? Hands? Yeah? Business? What do you do?
Advertising.
Advertising. Ah, so you're the corrupter of America's youth. Okay, there you go. Oh, okay. Like I said, so you're... No. Advertising, what else? Huh? Anybody else? Donna, what do you do? Sales rep. Cool. Yeah, you sell kids' clothes, right? So at least you keep them from being... Yeah. Anybody else? Business? What kind of business? Hiring, firing, the axe. Yes.
I'm in a medical group.
Medical group. Cool. So all these people involved in business, you should know what a corporation is. What's a corporation? Okay. What do you mean it's a shield? Everybody hear that?
No.
Yep.
Tell me, I'll tell everybody, though.
It's going to be a long Sunday. It's going to be a long, long Sunday. He said a corporation is a shield. That's normally called what? The corporate veil. What is the corporate veil? A little more loudly, anybody else?
It protects the real owners from lawsuits and stuff.
The real owners?
Well, the
stockholders. Thank you. So, now why this language of shielding, veiling the real owners, the.
The blame on the corporation and not an individual himself.
Ooh, puts the blame on this. Okay, communists. don't worry, I am too, you know? That's fine. We'll find out why. Puts the blame onto what?
The corporation and not the individual himself.
Okay, so what is a corporation? Is it a shield?
It's nothing. It's
okay. Because there is a shield involved, but is a corporation a shield per se?
It accepts liability.
It accepts liability. Good. It's a what? Interesting. Gloria.
Scapegoat.
It's a scapegoat. What do you mean it's a scapegoat? Okay.
It takes everything bad away from individuals.
Interesting, isn't it? How many persons have answered? No, how many persons have answered?
Five or six.
Five or six? By the way, does it take more than one person to make a corporation?
No. You can be incorporated by
yourself. Oh, you can, yeah. Yeah, so Jared Finkenbinder, Doctor Inc. Yeah. Yeah, lawyer, doctor, whatever. Okay. So how many people have answered? Oh, yeah. Two? Many? No, I'm sorry. boo, you guys are evil. Okay, yeah, 10. How many different opinions? 10. You know? All these variations. Formally, anybody here a business major? Okay, you. Formally, what is a corporation? Formally. Not formerly, formally. First year. It's okay then. Pop quiz. Okay, cool. Good. What is that? Oh, Sunny is. Behind the books, Sunny. How many years have you taken it? You business. You quit after the first semester. Okay, then we won't pop quiz you. Okay. Do you have a formal definition of corporation? A corporation formally is the creation of a legal identity. It's the creation of a legal entity, actually. A synthetic, synthesized being, which has all the rights of an individual to buy and sell, to own property, all these kinds of things, to hire, to fire, to employ, that has ownership. It's a legal entity. It's sort of like the Terminator. You know, it's a human being, so to speak, without having a human being. It's a legal entity that has all of the rights of an individual and yet is not an individual, is simply a synthetic construct on paper. Okay? That's why, like, a corporation has to have a seal, because a non-entity can't have a signature, you know? But you have to have a signature if it's going to be able to buy and sell things. That's the whole point. Yeah, well, it has kind of life, doesn't it? Do corporations die? Yes, they definitely can. Anybody know what the term comes from? Corporation. Latin corpus, body. You create a body without a body. An invisible person comprised of many persons, actually comprised of just legal paperwork. Now, sometimes this is genuine, is it not? How could a hospital operate if everybody had to communicate in the sense of ownership? If there was owners involved, like not a corporation, not an entity. If one person had to sign everything that went in and out of a hospital, think it would work very well? Hi, this is Fred's hospital. Is that going to work very well? Mm-mm. It's going to be too clumsy. The person can't be everywhere at once, right? They can't be in every office signing everything. So it has to be handled by the corporation. Okay? The corporation has to be large enough to deal with it. The United States is what? It's really a corporation. Is there such a thing as the United States? Right? Is there a tangible, physical thing that you can say, this is the United States? No? No. You can't break off a piece of the United States, because it could change, couldn't it? The United States could dissolve, blammo, put another government here, all the same mountains would still be here. Okay? It's not that the mountains are the United States. The United States exists somewhere mystically in the Constitution and the things surrounding it. It is it's a legal entity, an entity that's just on paper, old paper, but still paper, you know. Sometimes it's necessary. Sometimes it's a scam. Yeah. Most of the time. Well, now we know your perspective on life. But not always. See? But yes, sometimes it is. Sometimes it's an other, an alter ego, right? It's like you can be Dr. Jekyll and it can be Mr. Hyde, you know? It can take all of the liability for your actions. It can own all your property, so if you go out and be irresponsible and you get sued, who gets sued? They get nothing, You know, they can sue you, take away everything, but you still control the corporation. It's like your big grunt on a chain, you know. I make my Frankenstein do all my work. It owns all my property. Anything happens, you know, I get sued, I just walk away. But I can control the Frankenstein, remote control, and it can do all this work for me. And nobody can kill it. You know? This is not a new sort of a concept, by the way. If you have a Bible, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. A very familiar passage for many of us. Now, remember, what does corporation mean?
Body.
Okay? It is a body without a body. So we're going to do a little interpretation here. This is called dynamic equivalence. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were heathen, you were led astray to mute idols, however you may have been moved. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Jesus be cursed!" And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of working, but it is the same God who inspires them all and every one. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. All these are inspired by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the corporation is one and has many members, all the members of the corporation, though many, are one corporation, so it is with Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one corporation, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the corporation does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the corporation," that would not make it any less a part of the corporation. And if the ear should say, "Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the corporation," that would not make it any less a part of the corporation. If the whole corporation were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole corporation were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the organs in the corporation, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single organ, where would the corporation be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one corporation. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the parts of the corporation which seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the corporation which we think less honorable, we invest with the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts don't require. But God has so adjusted the corporation, giving the greater honor to the inferior part, that there may be no discord in the corporation, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the corporation of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers and workers of miracles, then helpers, healers, helpers, administrators, speakers in various kinds of tongues. Are all prophets? Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I'll show you a still more excellent way. He talks about love after that. This idea of being a body that is comprised of entity, that's an entity without a single face, is an old, old concept. That we are the body of Christ. We are the corporation of Christ. He's the prime stockholder, owns the whole thing, but we are members of his body. We have been incorporated to be a single entity that has all these aspects of being a personality, but is not one person. It just, you know, goes, it's like this, you know, obviously, it's a corporate body of Christ. So that's when people talk about the corporate body of Christ, it's kind of redundant, department of redundancy department. Turn over to John 17. Jesus talking again. And again, these are very familiar passages to most of us. But I want us to look at this one more time. When Jesus had spoken these words, this is his last night, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. Since thou hast given him power over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I glorified thee on earth, having accomplished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, Father, glorify thou me in thine own presence with the glory which I had with thee before the world was made. I have manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now they know that everything that thou hast given me is from thee, for I have given them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to thee, Holy Father. Keep them in thy name, which thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in thy name, which thou hast given me. I have guarded them, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not pray that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. As thou didst send me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, and for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be consecrated in truth. I do not pray for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may be one in us, so that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The glory which thou hast given me I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, so that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them even as thou hast loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom thou hast given me, may be with me where I am, to behold my glory, which thou hast given me in thy love for me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these know that thou hast sent me. I made known to them thy name, and I will make it known that the love with which thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. You hear this? The Lord saying, okay, Father, all right, you know, I am leaving this ball of dirt. They're stuck here. I'm gone. Make them one. Even like I'm on this ball of dirt right now, and yet I and you are one, and I do only those things which you say. In the same way that I am one with you, make them one with us. We're a corporation, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Make them a corporation, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and all those other critters. You know, so that we are just one. You know, intermingled, animated by his life and personality. That we are the cells in his body. Turn over to Acts chapter 2. Now, before we approach this, I want us to think about the different, ideas of how and for what purpose corporations are formed that came up here. The idea that we have of the they of corporations as opposed to the we of corporations. The idea that corporations are scams. The corporations are a thing, which takes all the liability for individuals. But there is this separation there. I live in the Newport Terrace Condominium Association. Every month we get the community newsletter. Newport Terrace Community News. It says about the same thing every month. No skateboarding, $100 fine, you know? Wow, that's a big issue. Huge, you know? They're going to rub the paint off the off concrete, you know? It's like... Anyway, what are they going to wear down the speed bumps? I don't know. We don't want them jumping over the speed bumps. They might hurt the speed bumps that we run over with cars over, you know? I don't know. It says about the same thing. Yesterday, we had a really interesting thing happen. We're right up against Canyon Park in Costa Mesa. Canyon Park has a stream that goes through it that's supposed to be diverted through a big culvert that runs underneath Newport Terrace. Well, the culvert wasn't able to handle the 5 inches of rain which fell, or whatever it was, and it backed up, turned Canyon Park into Canyon Lake, you know? That was just really cool until it broke down the fence. And this wall of water came against the front condominiums. Up to the windows, you know? People opening up their back doors, just letting ankle-deep water flow right through, you know? It's like, wow, I've never seen a stream with Berber carpet floor, you know? look at that. Wow, see? Real drag. I'm sitting there, I was supposed to go over Rich and Lucy's, and I get this phone call from them, you know, can you bring some sandbags? And so I'm getting ready to go over Rich and Lucy's, and I'm sitting in my kitchen putting on my shoes going, it's funny, the rain stopped. Why am I hearing a roaring sound? I walk outside, and what was typically like a parking lot with a little road, the road is now this deep in water. I'm going, that's the roaring sound. Yeah, you know, it's like, arp, 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 you know, like. There goes Buckethead the dog, you know? It's like, it wasn't like that. It was like, and I walk out, and I mean, my neighbor's Jetta, okay? I've seen this Jetta I don't know how many times before. I'm like, wasn't that parked at the end of the street last night? And it had like floated and washed down into my van, you know? Like, Chris's car is like, blah, 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 you know? Out of there, all of you. Wild. I mean, just this monstrous situation, you know. It's terrible. I really, you know, but I was like, I'm 5 years old again, playing in the mud puddles. And this is a good excuse, you know. Interesting thing. I don't know how many times I heard yesterday, wow, this is the first time I've met my neighbors. So what happened with this, everybody started coming out and, you know, shoveling mud out of each other's dining rooms. And taking care of each other that way, sandbagging and doing all this kind of stuff. And I heard like 4 times from 4 different neighbors, wow, this is the first time I've met you. How long have you lived here? Oh, 11 years. Now, here's the thing. Did we move yesterday?
No.
No. We were still all in the Newport Terrace Condominium Association. Did we finally act like an association? What was the association before with its community newsletter? It was a scam. See? In that sense, it was a shield. It's this, was it really an association of all the people who live there? No. It's a third party. It's a third party made of like a couple of people that are really anal retentive and uptight about skateboarding. Yeah? I don't say this as a skateboarder, but I just don't understand the whole thing. So there's these uptight people who want, you know, and they are, quote unquote, the association. But yesterday, the homeowners were the association. I'm not a homeowner, I'm a renter, but that's okay, you know. Like, yeah, I don't own. Yep. I'm just renting, you know. Anyway. Something changed. Where we went from being a corporation in name to being a corporation in actuality, and the association had nothing to do with it. Okay? Living up to one's name, not just being a scam, a paper corporation, but actually being a corporation. Okay? Now, thinking about that, listen to what happened in Acts. Verse 43, and fear came upon every soul. Oh, excuse me, right before this, Peter's preaching to a whole bunch of people who thought he was drunk at first, but he said, no, I'm not drunk. It's too early in the morning, and you better get saved. So they did. You ever heard Pentecost summed up that way before? But anyway, that's what it was. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Now, 3,000 people from like 120 hanging out in an upper room to 3,120 is a mob. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and distributed them to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they partook of food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Look over at chapter 4. Okay, Peter had been arrested. They prayed. God sent an angel, got Peter out of prison. He thought it was a dream, but it wasn't. And they were stoked. That's the synopsis. Now, verse 31. When they had prayed, the place in which they... This is the healing of the lame man. But it's the same... they were brought into a trial. And they said, don't talk anymore in the name of Jesus. And they said, no, we're going to do it anyway. That's the synopsis for this one. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. Now the company of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one said that any of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of what was sold, and laid it at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to each as he had need. Thus Joseph, who was surnamed by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field which belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And he goes on, you know, some people pull a scam and they get fried. They try to act like they're doing the same thing. God says, don't lie to me. And he kills them both, which is kind of interesting. But the Peter's whole point is the money was your own. Now imagine, I mean, houses are the same thing then as they are now. Like, you go from having a home to being homeless. So that, you know, if other people are homeless, you go, oh, I'll be homeless too then. Intense. The point here is not the financial communism, which this is. Okay? The point is that there was a heart of unity which said, my house is your house. My life is your life. My car is your car. My food is your food. See? My paycheck is your paycheck. It says, there is nothing of mine. There is no veil inside the corporation. There's a veil outside the corporation, you see? We always put the corporate veil inside. I, me, my stuff. There's me, there's my stuff. The entity, my stuff, comes between me and everybody else, and I live in my stuff. Don't you touch my stuff. That's my stuff. You know? The Lord says, no, that's all now corporate material. You and your stuff is corporate material because you and your heart and your life is corporate material. You are bought and sold with a price, and live as a corporation. Live as members of this entity. Don't turn the church into a scam. See? I was thinking about this. Think about gated communities. What a joke. I'm sorry if you live in a gated community, but it's not a community. It's a prison. You know? It's like gated to keep everybody else out, but do you talk with your neighbors? No, we come, we go, we sit in front of the TV. We have our little walls, you know? My brother recently told me that my father has 10 acres of desert, and he has put barbed wire on the property line, a fence behind that, and then a fence behind that, and then his block house. I went, what is there to protect? I'm here in my desert, am I, you know? in my little space. My little space. I come and go to my little space. That is not the body of Christ, people. A couple of paradigms, a couple of models that we can use to look at this real quickly. You guys understand the difference between aggregation and congregation, by the way? Take a bunch of stuff, bunch of rocks, throw them in a bucket with a bunch of sand. Okay? What do you have? You have a collection. Put a little lime in there and a little water. You have concrete. See? It's now together. Okay? We can be together all alone. We can be just a bunch of rocks and sand shoved in a big bucket. Or we can have the Holy Spirit make us into one. There's a huge difference. Okay? There's a difference between a crowd and a group. See? First model. First Church of the Airport. Everybody in the same general area. Okay, an airport. This is the way humans interact. There's all these people in an airport, and what are they doing? They're all going different places. They're all in the same general area, but they're all on different pathways. They just happen to be in the same locale at that moment. They're all transient. Yes, we met at the pretzel stand or whatever it is. We stood next to each other in line, but there is nobody interacting with anybody else except maybe two people they came with. Right? Then they all get on a plane, which is, just a small aluminum tube. Put 300 people in a little aluminum tube, and what do? How you can sit for 4 hours and not talk to the person. There's like the plexiglass thing, right? The Church According to Saint Airports, you know? Our Lady of Airports is what it would be, you know? Our Lady of Airports Church. That's where we all, you know, you're on the pathway in your life. You make a big, you know, I made a left hook through Disciples Church on Sunday morning. I happened to be there with a whole other people. We're doing their same thing. And we're all there for a freeze frame. You know, we're all standing watching the same commercial. And then off we go. Second, Our Lady of Freeways. Okay. In that, everybody is not going different directions. They're all going the same direction for a short period of time. They still have different goals, but they're in the same place going the same way for a short period of time. You know? But I'm getting on when I want. I'm getting off when I want. And same thing. Don't look at me, man. You know? I'm in my metallic glass bubble with my music playing, thinking about my thing, talking on my... I saw some lady getting on the freeway the other day. With a cellular phone and a frozen yogurt driving, getting on the freeway. I'm just going, you dangerous, get out of my way, you know? Like, she was looking, thinking, what is this? And that's, you know, Our Lady of Freeways. We're on ramps, off ramps, you know? We're all in the same place for a short time, going the same way for a short time, but I'm off at my exit, and there I go to my destination, and too bad about all those other people. You know, have you ever driven a long distance and seen the same car a number of times? You know, you have like this sense of camaraderie. Yeah, yeah. I know those people in the Buick LeSabre, you know? You don't know them. They're just simply familiar because they're the face next to you for about 3 hours as you drive around the thing. But you don't feel like this tremendous sense of loss when they stop at a rest stop, you know? It's like, that dog was looking uncomfortable, you know? No connection, just familiarity. You know, Our Lady of Freeways. You know, St. Maul's. How's this? St. Maul's. Everybody in there with relatively the same purpose, see? We're all shopping for similar things, and we're all competing for the best buy. We're all going to be in the same place at the mall for the sale, getting the best things for us. Then we go out to our car, we fight over the parking spots, and then we leave. You know, that is not a corporation either. That is a crowd again. Okay? I come here, I shop for the best part for me, maybe take some friends because it's so fun to go shopping with friends, and we come over here, we shop, we leave. You know, the gospel according to concerts. Okay? Everybody comes to the same place with the same intention to be entertained by the best concert. Yeah! 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 Okay? But are we a group?
Oh, we have the same loyalty, man. I really like the dead, you know?
You really are, you know? But, huh? We are groupies of the same group. We go to experience the same thing. Oh, yeah, we have come to be entertained by that group, and we get along because we all, yeah, I like that group. I know that song, too. But does that mean that you, well, no, only as long as, you know? There's nothing going on here. Affinity, yes. Cohesion, no. It's like Cal Jam, you know? 250,000 people showed up to Cal Jam, the first one. Cal Jam was a big concert in the 70s. welcome to our, the Gospel According to Saint Irrelevant, but sad. But 250,000 people in one place. And yeah, like one bathroom. That's okay, it didn't matter. It's like, and there was no cohesion. They were not a group, they were not a corporation, they were not a body, they were a mob. Okay? And everyone was stoked because they showed up and spent a lot of money. And that's about it. The Gospel According to the St. Raiders. Raiders football games, you see. We all show up, preferably in groups. We have our group. We eat hot dogs. We are having a great social time in our group. And we're all watching those people play that game. Wow, yeah. And when it's all over, we say, we won or we lost. Okay? But there's only like 15 guys down there sweating. Okay? They go, we lost. Oh, we lost. Or, yeah, we won. Okay? Hand me my ibuprofen. Okay? And the people up in the stands going, ah, rah, rah, yeah, we won. Woo! You know, with a big hand, you know. They all go out and they slap each other on the back to the parking lot. We won. What's your name? We won. Yeah, we did it. Yeah, all of us. Yeah. Well, you stood with your group and you cheered and ate hot dogs, okay? And then you walked out and said, we. But that's not what happened. Okay? Only by this bizarre, distant identification. You know, we are the world. We are mistaken. Not the case. You know, we sit in the stands and we watch the people play. Mm-mm. Big difference between that and, say, a militia, you know, where, yes, everybody is out there. We either make it or we don't make it. See? Big difference between a Raiders game and a gang rumble. Gang rumble, everybody shows up, and when you say we, you mean we. That's not saying like the Gospel According to St. Rumbles, okay? That's not what we're looking for. But I think the model that should be in our minds for the church is sort of like, and this is the best thing I could come up with, the Gospel According to St. Square Dance and Barn Raising. Barn Raising, Square Dance. Everybody shows up. They work on the project together. Harvey's barn needs fixing. Harvey needs a barn. Harvey has no house, whatever it might be. Everybody brings wood, nails, hammers, and motivation. They enjoy life together as they are interacting with each other toward a common goal. Everybody there. Then when everybody's done, they throw away all the tools. They go into the barn. Some people grab fiddles and what have you. And it's not that they're the show. It's that they support the dance. The dance takes place because everybody out in the barn is dancing with each other, trading partners, you know, swinging your partner, you know, whatever. Sorry, Eric. The dance participate. Is it a mob action? No. Is it ordered? Yes. Is there somebody directing it? Probably. You know, that's my job. You swing your partner, do this. Dozy-do, you know. Away we go. So that's what the leaders are supposed to be doing here, helping we to dance. So worship team does. It supports the dance. It's not like, oh, man, cool music. And it's not just, well, yeah, I know the song. It's, oh, I'm dancing. Okay, which song are they playing now, and how do we dance? We dance. Okay? We barn raise. We the community of Christ. Not just together all alone. Not just a shield corporation where we say, we create the entity of the body of Christ. We call it a name, and we use it to shield us from liability as we stay with our stuff. We use it as our remote control thing to do dirty work. That's not the point. The point is to be together with each other in the name of Christ and celebrating this whole thing so that we become one as He is one. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would bind us together and that you would move us. Be master and be head of this body. Enliven us and possess us, we pray. In the name of Christ, amen.